Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
Here we go!
AMP Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Pull along, nothing to see here. You ain't gonna do nothing. Daughter, keeping your heart affected.
Come on, come on.
Feel good.
This thing, bro.
Yeah, you know me.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network, coming at you live and direct from the mean streets of Brantford, Ontario. My name is Proteus. I will be your host this evening. Just a quick note before we get into this card. We are down one team member. I am not with the usual cast of characters again. Unfortunately, Pam from North Carolina is hunkering down to avoid pretty serious hurricane coming her way, so we wish that her and her family well, and everyone in that area that might be affected. Anyways, let's get to it. We are here tonight to discuss UFC Fight Night Hunt versus Oleinik, also known as UFC Fight Night 136, and it will be held Saturday, September the 15th, 2018, from Moscow, Russia, in a stadium there that starts with an O. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one, DJ Tony, because I'll just butcher it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, let's get into it. We don't have the usual cast of characters, so what we'll do, we'll go ahead and bring the big boss man in. We'll discuss this card, obviously with the big boss man and Marco from Waco. We'll discuss this card. It's not very deep. It's on the fightpass.com. For all of you North American viewers, just remember, Dana White says these cards are not for you, so you don't have to watch. And then I think in the second segment of the show, we'll get into a little This Week in MMA, because last week's card was a fantastic one, and I think we all have a little bit to talk about. So let's go ahead and bring him in, the big boss man himself, DJ Tony.
Indeed, minus the first lady of AMP Radio. We hope Pam is safe and sound. And gosh, we hope everyone that's been affected by the hurricane, right, is safe and sound. Certainly, I think Luke Thomas is safe and sound. Shout out to Luke Thomas. I know he listens to us.
Yeah.
And glad to be here, bro.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, too. Thanks for the shout-out for the Coheed and Cambria song. Of course, just a reminder for everyone involved, I will be off next weekend, or next week, because Coheed, that's why, he tripped. Tony, the minutes have been sounding fantastic. Got some news today on the minute. It was very interesting. Bellator going to Hawaii, but maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's bring in the star of the show himself. Of course, last week we missed him. You know him. You love him. Let's bring him in deep from the heart of Texas.
Deep from the heart of Texas.
Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. You almost let me on mute there, Tony. Wrong with you. I'm going a week and you're already having technical difficulties. Let's give you this car from the Ochichurnia Arena in Moscow, Vladimir Putin, Russia's freaking country. You know, hopefully Donald Trump is not freaking watching, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not very deep, is it, Marco? Not much going on there, is there?
Yep. All right. My thoughts and prayers with Pan North Carolina. I hopefully she evacuated. I don't know how far away from the coast she is, but I think it's going to get ugly tonight, and hopefully she's going to be fine. Her family is going to be okay.
Yeah, you know, they decided to stay put and hunker down. So, again, best of luck to them. Yeah, it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a bit of a mess. Marco, I hope you got everything handled last week. As we say all the time, family comes first on this show. But let's go ahead and get into this one, guys, because time is ticking away. To the heavyweight division we go, DJ Tony. Everybody's favorite, number 8, Mark the Super Samoan Hunt, coming at us from New Zealand. 13-12-1 with one no contest against Tony's boy, the marathon man himself, Alexei the Boa Constrictor Olenek, fighting in his home country. 56-11-1. Let me just see if I can get the odds on this one real quick. And I'm just taking these ones quickly from the UFC website. Hunt at a minus 170. Olenek coming back at us at a plus 145. Marco, let's throw to you in the main event of the evening, heavyweight division. What you got?
You know what? I'm going to scratch my head with this one a lot. You know, I like my hand, and that reputation my hand used to have of, you know, you get him to the ground and you can submit him right away, it's kind of gone. I mean, the last guy to submit him was a long time ago, a guy with the name of McCorkle. Remember that dude? He got like a stint at the UFC, and then he went away. Joe McCorkle. Well, that was the last guy to actually submit Marhan. And since then, his takedown defense has become really good. You know, he always get up. He's hard to submit. And, you know, he keep it standing. Olenek, he can Ezekiel choke everybody on the planet. Well, Olenek choke, because now he owns a damn freaking move. Who the hell is Ezekiel when this guy has done it like 5 different freaking times? And if he goes to the ground, I will believe that, you know, Olenek will win this fight. But I have a hard time seeing him taking hand to the ground. And I don't think he can withstand one of those Mark Hunt left hooks. I mean, on paper, and for any kind of purpose, the best striker here is Mark Hunt. And I'm riding with the old dog. He's going to be 43 years old. He's headlining a car again, so a little bit of show of respect. Even though he's in Russia, he's still the headliner. And for all time's sake, and because I don't think Olenek is that good of a striker, I want to give Marhan a walk-away first-round knockout. Classic Marhan. Okay. There you go.
All right, first-round KO. Got it. Okay, and Tony, as we know, Mark Hunt, no relation, of course, is not too happy with the UFC right now. Of course, they've buried him on a fight pass card over there in Russia. Maybe that's a good thing, though, because he's very, very popular. So, DJ Tony, I'll throw to you.
He's still going to make $800,000.
He's still going to make his money. That's right. That's right, Marco. DJ Tony, what you got here?
You know what, Proteus and Marco, it's tough not to root for Mark Hunt. No relation to the great Mike, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. You know what, I'll throw that out, kid. All right. You know what, I agree with Marco. I like Olenek, I do. And listen, shout out to anyone that does a move that shouldn't work in MMA, professional MMA, and it does over and over and over again, but it's not going to work on Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt is going to KO Alexei Olenek in the second round, and like Marco said, walk-off KO. Shout out to Holly Holm. I'm looking at her photo. No lightsaber right at this point, but Mark Hunt, second round, TKO over... Alexei Olenek. I got crickets on that. I'll give myself crickets on that one.
He's got to change his name from the Boa Constrictor to right? Tony's got himself on mute. Right.
Sorry.
Listen, guys, I think you both make good points. And, yeah, I do... I was having a hard time with this one as well, Marco, because, like you said, Mark Hunt is very, very dangerous. And really, I don't know if Alinek can get into the position to take advantage of that ground game that he's so famous for. And as we know, Mark Hunt is, you know, kind of fighting out his contract right now, looking to move on to brighter and greener pastures, so to speak. But the one thing that bothers me is this is in Russia. This is Russia. Alinek is going to have a big boost from that. You know, the first card in Russia from the UFC is very exciting. So this fight, even though is buried on the fightpass.com, might do some good numbers, you know, especially in Russia. Card is actually 4, apparently. So I'm going to take Mark Hunt as well. I think you guys are right. I think this one gets done pretty fast, pretty quick. First round KO. All right, guys. So it seems like we have an on-site reporter.
Real quick.
Let's bring her in now. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Marco.
If Alexa Lini puts out another secret choke, let's officially transition it to the Olenek choke and awake and a statue and a declaration from the freaking Russian Congress and the United States Congress and every Congress that will never be called again the secret choke.
Absolutely. That if he pulls it off again, Marco, that would be the third time he pulled it off in the UFC in the highest level of talent. That would be amazing. I don't know if he's going to be able to get there, but it would be super duper neat to see again. So as I was saying, we have an on-site reporter. Our weather reporter is on site. Let's go ahead and bring her in right now. Deep from North Carolina, Pam.
Hi guys, I'm calling from right in the center of Hurricane Florence. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. We didn't think you were going to be making it this evening, so we told everybody you weren't going to be on, but here you are, right on.
Well, I just wanted a quick call, say hi, check in with y'all, but the winds just started. It started raining a little bit ago, and now, I mean, it's like crazy windy out. I had to come outside to let the dogs come out, and it's weird because it'll be like super quiet, and then all of a sudden, just like crazy windy. The beaches have all been evacuated. They wanted pretty much everyone to evacuate, but those of us that chose to stay, you know, you're kind of doing so under your own whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I couldn't go, man.
I've
got too many critters. Yeah, exactly. I've got too many critters. I have an uncle who's elderly that can't travel. So, you know, we're roughing it out here. We still have power. It's been flickering on and off. So we do have we have power right now, but right now the heavy winds have just started.
How far away from the coast are you?
We are probably about 5 miles away from Wrightsville Beach, about 10 miles away from Carolina Beach, about 4 miles away from the Cape Fear River. So basically surrounded by water.
The question is, how far underground is your couch?
Well, we're above the floodplain, so we're not going to get flooded. So that's good.
That is what they said in Houston about a lot of neighborhoods, and I think some of them got flooded. Like I said, as long as you and your family are safe, that's all I care about.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, plenty of water and things like that, and pulses and ammo.
Just in case.
But the winds and everything are a big concern, but mostly the big concern after is when the water crests and you're going to have all the flooding. But like I said, we're out of the flood zone, or we're high enough where we don't get flooded, and the drainage in our neighborhood is pretty good. But I was just calling in to say, hey, I don't know if I'll hopefully get to watch the fight, but it's just been crazy here. I mean, just crazy, crazy, crazy. And the hurricane got downgraded, I think, to a Category 2 or a Category 1, which is better than a Category 4. So,
yes, absolutely.
The amount of rain that is going to dump on you, the problem is they're expecting 20 to 30 inches on some places, man. That is way too much. That is a big issue. It's like the wind, thank God, is not going to be so strong. But it's like the amount of water and that thing is going to stall for a while. So it's going to sit there and don't water. That's what I'm a little bit concerned about you, Pam, but hopefully everything's going to be fine.
But yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I'm trying to stay optimistic. So like I said, Category 2 is better than a Category 4 at times that we've even been in a Category 5. So like I said, I've got my creditors are here, my uncle's here, and, you know, and we couldn't because he's going to be 85 and he can't travel and, he takes medication and stuff like that. So we just, you know, Paul's here. He had to cancel his flight. So he's here. The kids are here. And whoever else wants to come and, you know, stay at the house is more than welcome to come stay at the house. But so we're going to hunker down here, and I'm going to let y'all go. Have a great show.
All right.
But I'll be keeping in touch with y'all.
Yes, Pam. Okay. Thanks very much. And, yeah, keep us updated, okay?
I'll be calling
you
from my arc. I will. All right. Love you guys. I hate that I'm missing the show, but I just wanted to check
in.
All right.
Talk to you later. Cheers. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Do you want to be
And that was our field reporter, Pam from North Carolina, letting us know how things are going, hunkering down for the storm. All right, guys, let's move along if we can. Whenever you're ready, Tony, cue that music. Thank you very much. All right, guys, so the 200-pound, wow, hello, 205-pound division we've got. Of course, that's a lightweight division, my light heavyweight. Wow. Okay, let's try that again. To the light heavyweight division we go. Jan, your boy. Oh, that's not his nickname. That's right. That's somebody else's. He doesn't have a nickname. Number 4, Jan Błachowicz, coming at us, fighting out of Poland, 21-7-0 against Nikita the Miner Krylov from. Fighting out of the Ukraine, of course, 24-5-0. Let's get the odds quickly on this. Again, from the UFC website themselves, Błachowicz is at a plus 105 versus Krylov at a minus 125. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. What you got here?
You know, Proteus, shout out to Jan Błachowicz. Probably the youngest fighter on this card, not named Nikita Krylov. It's funny how Marco said, I'm taking the old guy, Mark Hunt, at 44, Alexei Oleinik at 41. Darn, do we need heavyweights or what? To the light heavyweight, this is a tough one. Obviously, Jan Błachowicz at a plus 105, Nikita Krylov at a minus 125. I'm going with Nikita Krylov, and I'm going with Nikita Krylov. Let's keep the trend going. Second round TKO. Nikita, don't call me Koloff, Krylov. Does anyone know who Nikita Koloff is? No? All right, I'll give myself credit.
No, sir. Okay, Marco.
Paris is like tanking today, man. You do bad today. Don't try any more jokes. You're killing me in a bad way.
Officially killing Marco. Okay, Marco. So let's. I think this should be noted that this is not Krylov's first go around in the UFC. He was fighting over there in Russia, if I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. But now that we've got a card in Russia, the UFC welcomes him back and with open arms. And of course, I don't think the UFC should have gotten rid of him in the first place. But let's throw to you. What you got going on here in the light heavyweight division?
Well, Nikita Krylov left the UFC on a winning streak. Also, he left because he played out his contract, and ACV offered him more money. And to be honest, you know, Nikita has been doing his thing out there on the Eastern Bloc, you know. He's in a 5-5 winning streak or something like that. He's been doing work. I'm probably getting better. With lesser competition, mind you, because I don't think he's facing the level of competition in Europe that he was facing in the UFC. But all that said, I mean, we've seen Nikita Krylov evolve. I mean, he started as a heavyweight, mind you, in the UFC, and then he brought it to a more natural weight for him, 205. And so, surprisingly enough, the guy is getting better and better, winning and winning and winning. Blagojevich, man, he's serviceable. He likes to get in brawls, you know. He tries to pinch you against the cage. But we're going to kind of find ways to win, man. And I'm the Al Capone, excuse the minor. He's the original Al Capone, the Al Capone guy. I like his train, dude. I want to see that this kid guy is still young, very young for the division, you know. He took a hiatus from the UFC, but I think he's going back like a better version of himself, more experience. So I'm going to pick Nikita Klein like a TKO in the second round, man. And maybe a head kick, you know, 1-2 combination, followed by Grand Slam TKO, and Nikita Klein wins in the second round.
Okay, so same as Tony Krylov, second round TKO. I think that you guys are, you know, kind of reading my mind here, because I think coming back into the UFC, Krylov's going to be very excited to be there. Probably going to put on a good performance. Now, having said that, Jan Błachowicz is on a 3-fight winning streak in the UFC. Of course, two of them getting a performance bonus, one being the fight of the night bonus in his last one against Jimmy Manoa. And of course, performance of the night 2 fights ago against Devin Clark, submission. And, you know, they're, for the most part, the two of the 3 wins are decisions, but they're both unanimous. I'm going to go that way. I'm going to keep up that trend. I know it's hard to have a 4-fight win streak, especially, well, I mean, the light heavyweight division is not that great right now, but in the UFC in general, I'm going to take Błachowicz anyways. I'm going to take him by decision.
Look at you.
It's not too bad. It's kind of safe, though, right? I guess. Kind of safe. Okay, guys. We were discussing before we came on the air that there's not a lot of meat on the bone to this card, but we are going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Andre Arlovsky fight. Of course, he is fighting an Av. On this particular fight card, to the heavyweight division we go. Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky, 27-16-0 with 1 no contest, fighting out of Belarus, against number 14 Shamil Kadyrkhamimov. Yep, nailed it. Also fighting out of Russia, 18-4-0. Sure. That's a mouthful, man. I tell you. Andre Arlovsky is at a +110, according to the UFC's odds. And what Marco said, the off is coming back at us at a -130. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm not having a good time pronouncing his name. So I do apologize. If anybody is getting insulted, I do apologize. Not what I want to do. Listen, guys, I wanted to highlight this one because, you know, we have another veteran on here, you know, in the heavyweight division. As Tony had said, you know, we need a little life in the heavyweight division. But Andre Arlovsky getting an opportunity to fight over there in Russia with the UFC. Again, he's not probably going to be the hometown favorite, obviously. But it's going to be a tough fight for him because I think we are kind of seeing the tail end of Arlovsky's career. And of course, he's 2-for-4 in his last 4, of course, losing his last one out against Taito Avassa. It's hard with Andre, because he's one of those guys, you know, he's been there for a while and you want to cheer for him and you want to see him still do well. And of course, as Luke Thomas says, you know, it's taken us by surprise lately. And I don't know, maybe he just ran into a younger, more talented Tuivasa in that fight. And of course, it was a unanimous decision. I'm going to take Arlovsky, though, just for sentimental value, I think, because I want to see him do well. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to, but I feel like I want to see him do well and succeed, because he's always been one of my guys. I think I've already said that. I'm going to take Arlovsky. I'm going to take him by second round TKO. Let's follow the trend, guys. Second round TKO. Okay. Let's throw to you again, Marco. What you got here in the heavyweight division? Is it Andre Arlovsky, or is the native Russian going to get her done?
Under Rahima, I do. We're going to get so much fame from the legion of Russian listeners we got, man. I mean, I got the same feelings, man. For as much as I want to say I lost today, well, I think I've seen the changing of the guard lately, you know, like a lot of old guard is getting phased out by the new blood. I thought him was good, man. The kid is a banger, you know, Sambo, combat Sambo master. It's probably a younger version of Arlovski. And like I said, as much as I want to say Arlovski do well, I don't see this one. This is night. He's got to put a valiant effort because, you know, even Taito Iwasa couldn't put him out. And, you know, it was a decision, but he still lost the fight. And I think he's going to go the same way. He's going to get a valiant effort. I don't think he's going to get knocked out because he does have better than Savvy. But the younger Russian dude is going to be able to outpoint Arlovski and come away with a contingent 29-28 decision. Let's give Arlovski the respect of one round.
All right. 29-28 from Marco, the OB. Okay, Tony, this is you, brother. You're bringing up the rear here on this one. What do you got here in the heavyweight division? Andre Arlovski or the Av?
Boy, that just sounded all wrong. I'm bringing up the rear. Excuse me?
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh, man. I guess. You know what? It's funny how Marco keeps saying he's going to go for the younger guy. Any single time I look at Shamil Abdurakhimov, I don't know if
there
I got that right. Did I get that right?
TJ, who's your mama?
Let me try this again. Shamil Abdurakhimov.
Who the fuck is that guy?
All right, I'm not getting that. But don't you think of Laverne and Shirley? I might be dating myself here. Shamil Shamazel, Hoffman Sefer Incorporated? No? Nothing? All right. I'll give myself
at least I know what you're talking about.
You're bombing so much today, man.
I'm off today. All right. Well, in that case, Marco, I'm going to go with Andre Arlovski. And yes, I'm a Pitbull fan, as you guys know, not the dogs, but the actual fighter. And you're going to think I'm crazy here. Decision. Andre Arlovski. Yep. Okay. These two old guys, 37 and 39, are. And keep in mind, Andre's in good shape. The other guy looks like me with my shirt off. I'm taking Andre Arlovski via decision. Not kidding.
Okay. We got you.
Good job.
All right, guys. So as I mentioned, there's not a lot more meat on the bone. Thiago Alves is back. Your boy, the Doberman, CB Dalloway. And Kousimov. Back, Rustam Khabilov is back. So, I mean, a couple of good fighters on that undercard. So, but for the most part, there's a lot of shadow figures on this one, guys. So, we're gonna skip the spotlight fight of the night on this card because, I mean, who knows? I mean, Yan versus Soon Sun, that's gonna be a good one.
I can't wait for that fight.
You ready? You pumped? So I'm going to give out the winners. I'm going to take this opportunity to take to give you guys the winners from last week. Pam took down the title there, DJ Tony. It was neck and neck with you and Pam, but she did end up taking it down. Got her spotlight fight absolutely correct. You know, nailed that one. So got all the full points for that one, which was basically the difference. You guys had a great week. I, however, did not. And we'll just leave it there. So, guys, let's go ahead and do a little bit of this week in MMA, if we can. We'll transition back to the last weekend, which was the weekend of UFC 228. Now, a couple of storylines coming out of this particular fight event. Most notably, Marco, I'm going to start with you. I thought most notably, Nico Montano being stripped. Let me rewind the tape. First of all, there was unable to make the weigh-ins, reportedly by her own report on Luke Thomas's show, her kidneys were definitely shutting down and or had shut down. So she was in a bad spot. But a lot of people are saying, you know, Montano might have gotten a little bit of a raw deal on this one. Marco, let's throw to you. What is your outlook on the events that were, and of course the UFC stripping Montano, but not letting her know in person or giving her a phone call or even a text message? Just found out on the Instagram. What you got?
What is here? What is here? Look, I was very vocal at the fact that I mentioned it was right for them to strip her of the title. That said, just completely detaching myself from the emotion, because I like I said, I understand that this was a business decision. Nico Montano, not a monster figure, she's 1-0 in the UFC officially. You know, the fights and the ultimate fighters are exhibitions, so they don't count. And she got the title out of the reality show, like Carlos Conceve. She was expected to lose. It is sad, and I hope that she eventually gets the chance to at least compete for the title again. That is a story for another day. I think that she would have had, they should have given her the opportunity to defend at least once. But I understand the business decision. Don't get me wrong. If this was a Max Holloway or a Khabib Nurmagomedov or a Conor McGregor, it wouldn't be in the situation because they wouldn't be in the script. But it did strip Tony Ferguson. Freaking Freddy Covington is no longer the interim welterweight champion as of last Saturday, according to Dana White. So it's not like one belt got stripped last week. It was two belts stripped last week. The other one nobody heard about because the guy wasn't, you know, getting weight or anything. He was just hanging out with Donald Trump or something. But I don't like this president. I'm uncomfortable with it. That said, I still understand why they did it, you know, because the division is to move along. And they do want to do the coronation of Shevchenko. Everybody and their mother. And don't tell me that nobody here was expecting Nicky Montano to be Shevchenko, because I would put Bullshit right now. Everybody is expecting Shevchenko to be the queen. And now they can move along. It's not going to, if they can convince Joanna Jędrzejczyk to move up, they get a super fight with Shevchenko and Jędrzejczyk for the title again. And, you know, like she was willing to fight. I know she didn't make it to the weigh-in. And in boxing and in freaking wrestling and in any other competition, if a champion doesn't make it to the weigh-in, he's in the weigh-in, and he doesn't make it to the scale, they forfeit the back of the title. I mean, you see it on boxing all the time. You see it on wrestling all the time. You forfeit the match. So I understand the logic. I don't like the way they went about it. But now I'm ready to move on and see Shevchenko and hopefully Jędrzejczyk go for the title and make it interesting again. That's what I got to say about that part of the controversy of last week.
All right. So DJ Tony and Marco, if you've moved around at all or something, your audio is a little bit worse than it was at the beginning of the show. So if you moved around or something, just maybe go back to the same spot you were in. DJ Tony, let's throw to you. Marco brings up some good points, and I'm just wondering how you feel, because there was a lot of people who thought that maybe Montano got ripped off.
You know what? I would normally agree with you guys there. I think anyone getting stripped, and not in a good way, is a bad thing, right? I'll give myself crickets on that one. Don't worry. But the problem with Nico Montano is that there's a lot of red flags, guys. I agree that it was wrong the way they did it. No one should ever find out that they're losing their title via Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is. And Proteus, you brought this up numerous times. It's like, come on, did she really win a championship, or did she kind of win a tournament that got her a title that may have not been the most qualified flyweights on that, right? That's to be determined. The problem is a lot of red flags, guys, a lot of excuses for her not being in, whether or not she was ill or not. It doesn't matter after a while, because it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? After a certain amount of time, does it really matter? Because we've seen it, right? We know how it ends. We knew, I kind of knew that she wasn't going to fight. I think we all kind of, we had to bet our homes on it. We probably bet that she wasn't going to fight. And that's no indication on her. She seems nice, right? But then she had that little thing with Ariel that was kind of like iffy. We saw a little, some mean streaks in there that maybe, you know, elevated those red flags. So was it right for them to strip? No. Did we think she was going to make it? Not really. I didn't. So wrong for them to strip, but I don't think she was ever going to fight, to be frank.
Yeah, and I think you guys both have the right opinion here, or kind of agree with what I'm going to say as well. I'm so tired of this trend of, you know, people finding out they have fights, or their fights are canceled, or that you're getting now apparently that you're going to be getting stripped of your title via Instagram. And of course, this is not an interim title fight. She was actually, as you said, mentioned Mark or Tony, she was actually the champion. Yes, she may have won it in a unique way. Well, not so much unique, because as Marco pointed out, and I pointed out last week, Esparza came through the same route. However, I think that the 115 division was a little bit deeper. You know what I mean? There was a few more girls in that division that we could fall back on to get fights moving in that division. There's not a lot of 125 pounders at this time that are, you know, top quality at least. Yeah, I think we were all thinking it was going to be the Shevchenko show, except for, of course, Pam, who was going with her her girl on that one. But I understand 100%. I mean, this division needs to get moving. It needs to move on. Like you just pointed out, Tony, there was maybe some drama happening earlier on that we were kind of wise to the fact that the UFC wasn't really happy with Montano. They gave her this opportunity, and I think that Shevchenko, when she was interviewed, of course, also earlier this week, bringing up some good points. You know, if you sign that contract, you got to make the weight, and especially in a title fight. You know, whether or not there is too much media attention, or that too many media obligations that Montano needed to do before she could start cutting that weight. That might be an issue as well. I think that these fighters are doing too much media, but that's just me. I was fine with them stripping her, and now the division can move along. I hope she gets a second chance at it. Maybe she gets a couple fights and shows us and proves to us that she does deserve to be there. She does deserve to be at the top of that division. But as you said, Tony, that tournament that she won, the Ultimate Fighter, one, nobody was paying attention to it, and two, we need a name at the top of this division, or we need – at least for this division to start progressing. And I think that this is the way the UFC is going to do it. Very interesting. I mean, the fight with Shevchenko and JJ could be very interesting. I don't know which direction they're going to go, but they have Suarez there as well. I think that, you know, they have to do something, and they did it, and I'm fine with it. Just let her know in person before you strip her. Be a man and do it to her face. Okay, guys, let's move on to the second topic that I wanted to bring up on this show.
Matt,
and then maybe
you're not
going
to her face. Matt.
What's that?
It's a bad joke. If I do it,
yeah, we can't really hear what you're saying, though, buddy. You can't really hear what you're saying. You're kind of muffled. That's why I asked for you to repeat. Sorry. It's going in and out, really. I'm going to be honest with you. So that's what I was thinking. Now, okay. So let's move on to the next topic that I wanted to cover here. Tyron Woodley, with the performance of the night, retains his title. Absolutely bulldozes Darren Till in this fight. Second round submission. And the words coming out of it for Tyron Woodley are, in my opinion, positive. The winds of change may be coming through here, the GJ Tony, but I don't want to talk about it too much. I want to get your opinion on it first. So Tyron Woodley goes out there and smashes Darren Till. What were your thoughts on this, and what about the fallout that came behind the win?
I'm the wrong guy, because I was already on the Tyron. And that we finally got it right. Tie like a tie and run. Like Run DMC, Tyron. I was already on the Tyron Woodley bandwagon just because I do think he's done a lot. I know he hates the media and a lot of fans. I don't know why, you know, again, maybe because he's ornery and just kind of standoffish, truculent, I guess. But the one thing about Tyron Woodley is he is talented and he does seem to fight everyone. I agree with Proteus that he fights to the level of his competition or he fights safely. Didn't fight safely this time, right? And I think Darren Till got one shot in. So shout out to Tyron Woodley. Hopefully, you know, he gets a little happier. I know for a fact our boy Marco can't stand him. They've gotten into it on the Tyron Woodley show, or at least that radio show that he had at one point. But I think it was well deserved, and I think he fought well. So shout out to Tyron Woodley.
And I was you brought it up, but I was going to save Marco to the end. So I'm going to let him comment on this one last because we know about the tension there. So, guys, I mean, one thing that stood out to me that I don't think anybody is really, really, really talking about here is that for Darren Till, I think that the fight happened when he made weight on Friday. I think that was so stressful for him and such a big topic of conversation that maybe the getting into the cage and fighting the champion was secondary on his mind because he did not look like he wanted to be in there. He was very tentative in the first round. And then, of course, Tyron pouring it on even more in the second and getting that beautiful finish. And, of course, dealing out some punishment along the way. I think that the weight cut was definitely a big thing. All of the pressure, the media coverage, of course, we saw his reaction when he made the weight on Friday. You know, very, very spirited, definitely had a lot of emotion behind it. And then, of course, trying to crap the bed on fight night. Now, let's touch on Woodley a little bit here. Well-deserved win. I was really happy to see a return to form, in my opinion, for Tyron Woodley. Again, maybe Darren Till is not of the caliber of fighter that we thought he was. Maybe the hype, we were all were believing a little bit more into the hype train. The Wonder Man fight, you know, was a close one, but kind of gave him the opportunity to fight a high-level contender in the UFC, of course, fought for the title twice previously, did the Wonder Man. So no joke there, but again, Darren Till did not make weight for that fight, and we had the excuses or the reasoning for him not to be made weight, you know, problems with his girlfriend, yada, yada, yada. Tyron Woodley goes out there and gets a great win. This is something that he needed. Not only did he need a win, but he needed to look impressive. I think that's going to go a long way in the minds and the hearts of the fans. Looking to finish, not looking to be tentative and spend, you know, five rounds in there with Darren Till, not allowing Darren Till to get comfortable and work his game. I thought it was very, very interesting, Marco, and we'll get to you in just a second, to hear on a Joe Rogan podcast, the MMA podcast that he does this week. Had TJ Dillashaw on, and I don't know why his coach's name is slipping my mind right now because I had this all ready and prepared in my head. Anyways, it was interesting to hear the break. Yeah, thank you very much, Ludwig. Ludwig was on there and he brought up an interesting point that he saw a little bit of a chink in Darren Till's armor, and he was wondering if Woodley's camp saw the same thing he saw and kind of bet on their money and shoved it in that. They went all in on the fact that Woodley would be able to take advantage of that chink in Darren Till's armor. And very, very interesting conversation. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. I thought it was interesting from Bang Ludwig. I hope Woodley decides to keep this I'll fight anyone moniker up because I don't think it helped him to, you know, be whining about, and we've talked about this before on the show, but I'll make it quick, to be whining about not getting a title shot and then getting a title shot, winning. Great win, and then, of course, deciding that he's not going to fight anybody. He just wants big money fights. That Colby Covington fight needs to happen next. It's got the most heat behind it, and He says he doesn't deserve it. And he doesn't. I just don't understand why he doesn't want to fight him. Marco, what do you got on this topic? And what did you think about Woodley getting the excellent win?
Okay, so can you hear me better now? By the way, I switched headphones.
Yeah, that's much better. That's much better.
So before I start with Tyron Woodley, I'm going to give you a quick overview of what I thought of the card this week because it was fantastic. Irene Aldana.
Marco, hang on on that because that's what we're going to finish with. Okay,
if you could focus
on this one, and then I want to get the stories of the night after this.
Okay, no problem. So, oddly enough, it was from the old SiriusXM Fight Club that me and Tyron Woodley went at it live on freaking satellite radio, and RJ Clifford, you know, because he's my man. Put a replay of that complete argument back on a Tuesday. So 3 years later, I got to hear myself screaming and howling at Tyron Woodley. Go figure. But that said, I recognize when I am wrong. On this one, I was wrong. Tyron Woodley looked fantastic. Tyron Woodley looked like the kind of champion I would like him to be. I can forgive him now the fact that, you know, he was trying to pick up super fights, that he is more willing to fight other people. And let's not hide the fact that he's actually building the fight with Colby Covington. That is the fight that has to happen. Covington is promoting the fight already. Tyron Woodley, in his own way, is promoting the fight by trying to say that he's not listening to Covington, that he's not going to get the fight, I start talking crap. That is when you start promoting the fight, by antagonizing each other. So that is the fight that is going to happen next. When it comes to Tyron Till, the guy's young. He's 25 years old. He probably is better served by moving to middleweight. So I expect Tyron Till to move to middleweight and do like what Kevin Gastelum and Bobby Knuckles did at middleweight, do pretty well up there. I'm happy for Tyron Woodley. Right now, he's the third best welterweight on UFC history on my list, behind Matt Hughes and George St. Pierre. That is an argument for another day. And Dean Thomas, his head coach, did the coolest thing that you can do on a freaking at the end of a fight. He freaking awarded his black belt. So what else can we say? But I hope the next fight they have with Copy to make millions of dollars for them. And let's move out and see what happens. But me and my grief with Tyron Woodley is dying down, especially because I want him to beat the crap out of Copy Covington.
Exactly. I think it's interesting that narrative is coming up and it's playing out in your politics down there as well. Marco, why don't you go ahead and give us what the rest of the stuff that you wanted to give us, because as you mentioned, fantastic card. So go ahead and give us the wrap-up.
Well, so this card, a strong candidate for fight of the year so far, Irene Aldana and Putelava put a fight of the ages for the women's division. It was these two girls beat the shit out of each other. Of course, Jim Miller and Diego Sanchez turned the club back, and they won, and they won impressively. Where that this Jim Miller has been, you know, fighting Lyme disease. And of course, Diego Sanchez putting the beatdown on that British dude. I'm happy for them. You know, they bought themselves a little bit more time on the USC. Of course, we got that Neil walkout head kick that was amazing. I don't know why he didn't get a $50,000 bonus, because that was a shoo-in for a performance of the night. Hopefully, they get him something on the locker room. Then you got freaking Aljamain Sterling and Mohamed Sharipov pulling a back mount to freaking leg low freaking submission. How the hell that didn't get a freaking performance of the night? They put the same freaking move, a move that hasn't been done since UFC 153. But I guess they did it at the same night, so they screw each other up on that one. Never mind the fact that freaking Tatiana Suarez and Jessica Van der Leydrach, or Van Drach, well, I don't know what they call him in this place right now. They both make Rose Namajunas think in Colorado, what the fuck, I have to fight these bitches now? Because holy shit, Tatiana Suarez put a beat down Carlos Parza, and that one hitter quitter that Andrade put on freaking KK, holy shit. Nico Price got a slap. damn it, but it was so many good fights on this card, except for the Dobson and Rivera fights. I went and took a dump on that one because it was boring. I was like, damn, guys, you're messing me up. The rest of the card, fantastic. 9 finishes. Even the decision, you know, the girls that got the fight of the night, super entertaining fight. And it was all coupled by Tyron Woodley making Darren Till. So 2 significant strikes and him just completely bulldozing him and dark-shocking him in the second round. That is the kind of freaking UFC cards that I like to see. That is what I show people that don't know nothing about the UFC. This kind of fights you got to show your friends and say, that is what I love this sport. Now tell me you don't like this shit. That's all I have to say.
Absolutely. DJ Tony, you got anything to add to that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the one that called Irene Aldana. I think she's amazing.
Yep.
The problem is she does take a lot of hits. So hopefully she'll improve on that quite a bit. We saw that the same thing with Leslie Smith. But all around, guys, even though it was like Marco said, even though it was only one title fight, you got to give it up. I don't know what the numbers are going to come out to be. Apparently the prelims were, again, a record low, the lowest they've been in the calendar year.
Yeah,
so that's a little bit concerning.
580,000.
Not good, right?
It's going to go a little bit up when they count the DVRs and the total numbers, because the overnight only counts the East Coast, but it's not going to reach a million.
Yeah, and like Marco said, I mean, if it's not going to reach a million for free on a very good card in Dallas, it's got to make you worry, right? But all in all, I thought it was a pretty good card. Not a great card. I think we've seen stronger cards.
Let me point out something else. It wasn't a sellout, because I've been on the Dallas American Airlines Arena before. I've been on there for 2 cars. The total a sellout in the American Airlines Arena is 18,000. And I've been on 2 sellouts on the freaking arena. This one did a little bit less than 15,000. So it was 3,000 long. I think the upper deck was empty. But 15,000 is still a good number. A lot of people went to see the car, but not a complete sellout. Just giving you that as a pointer.
And I think it was reported as a sellout. So good call there, Marco, because I honestly, I think we were told that it was a sellout. Yeah.
Okay. It is technically a sellout because the upper deck was closed with 15,000 is still called a sellout, but the maximum capacity, 18,000. I've been there with an 18,000 capacity crowd, and that is a complete sellout. The gate was all right. It was $2 million. So, I mean, give and take, I guess it did okay in the arena, but it was not a complete sellout. It was a technically a sellout. 15,000 people is not nothing to sniff at, but not a complete sellout.
Marco,
all right, guys. Yeah, absolutely. We're getting close to the end of the show, guys, and I still have one more topic to go. So let me just wrap up this event real quickly. I wanted to give my apologies to my boy Jim Miller, as Marco pointed out. You know, Jim's been dealing with it's just a terrible, terrible thing. And
Lyme disease.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. That's right. I didn't actually say what I was talking about. But Lyme disease is a really terrible thing, and I mentioned it, I believe, last week. Surprised neither one of you mentioned the controversy with Dana White not coming to the post-fight press conference. I don't really read too much into that, but neither here nor there. Okay, guys, before we get out of here, one more quick thing. I know this is an MMA show, but there is a big boxing event coming up this weekend. I'll give you both the opportunity to weigh in on this. I don't watch boxing, so it's not a big deal to me. Tony, let's start with you, and then we'll get Marco to go, and then Marco can close the show, and we'll get out of here.
Like Marco would say, travesty, travesty. This is a good fight. We've already seen it play out before. In your case, your girl, Proteus, Adelaide Byrd, doing her best to ruin boxing. But we've seen this play out before. This time I think it's going to be a little different. Last time I did call on MMA Junkie. Shout out to MMA Junkie. I did call Triple G via decision over the great Canelo Alvarez. This time I'm reversing it. But Canelo Alvarez with a decision over Triple G, only because Triple G is aging and he's just not the fighter he was before. This is a good fight, guys. So shout out to them.
Marco, what you got on this?
Oh, man. Last fight, Triple G won it. He got robbed. It was a close fight. I'm not saying it was an absolute robbery, but he was still robbed. Audrey Bird, she's within combat sports. I don't know why they let him judge fights again. I don't expect controversy on this one. There's not much of a buzz on this fight like the last one. You know, you can see it on, like, the ESPNs and stuff like that. And there is no buzz for this fight. It's going to do okay. I'm still going to pick at Triple G. Triple G already have a look at Canelo Alvarez. And I think he's going to follow the same blueprint. All this allegation of TDs and all that crap, I don't give a shit. I don't give a crap about it. I think Triple G already knows that he can beat Canelo. He's going to come confident and a little bit more aggressive and knock Canelo out probably on the 9.
All right, DJ Tony, let's go ahead and cue the music to get on out of here, and then we'll get you to go ahead and do us a solid here and give us your Twitter follow of the week, or as Marco would like to say, your guilty pleasure. What you got, DJ Tony?
No spoiler alert, guys, but season 2 of Ozark is out on Netflix. So definitely want to give a shout out to that. American Horror Story as well, last season. Unfortunately, I got caught up in that crap again. But I got to give my girl a shout out. Today was leg day, and Kat Zingano showing them off. Shout out to Kat Zingano at Alpha Kat.
Excellent. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. I thought perhaps you were going to cue the lightsaber there, but apparently not. So let's move on. Of course, reminder again, guys, I will... again, a reminder, next weekend, you guys will be rolling 3 deep as well, as long as Pam survives the hurricane. Thank the Lord that she will. I'm going to give my shout out to at Coheed, Coheed Cambria, on their Canadian tour right now. The new album drops early October. I am so excited. That's it for me. Marco, get us out of here. Give us a PFL minute if you got one, too.
No PFL minute this week. I haven't been following. You know, my guilty pleasure, Ozark, DJ Tony is right on it. Follow Tony, I am DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow Produce and Produce. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Let them review us, knuckleheads. You know, we need the reviews. And, you know, with that, I'll leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fights.
All right. And just like that, DJ Tony. Work.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.